my books, huh? Have you received some of these books? Come.
There's another friend coming.
Yeah, you can collect one each from here. Yeah.
Now?
Now, yes. We got some very good books.
Yeah,
huh?
I read a lot.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
The Heart Sutta. And all these are the short notes that we did up for the Heart Sutta classes. Then the other one is the seminar paper that I deliver in Bangkok, the international seminar. Then the other two books are the transcript of meditation classes that we did. One of them is a talk in Klang. So all these books are given free, donated by Karya Metas. Those who just came in, you don't have this book, and this book you can come forward to collect them. These are the two latest books that we have printed. You can collect them now. These are very good books. The book Knowing and Seeing is based on the Klang talk on Sabbasavak Sutta. Then the other book is Success in Life via Meditation Following the Dhamma Way. This is based on a seminar talk that I delivered in Bangkok in the year 2013, August, about 1.5 years ago. You have got this book? You can collect them. Oh, the Heart Sutta you also haven't received. Oh, good. What about this? Oh, the program. Okay. The retreat one. Did anybody took it for you that day? Anybody took a retreat program? Nobody, huh? That morning, Saturday morning, I will pass it to you, Saturday morning. But we can send you the WhatsApp first. I think there is a WhatsApp Where is Stephanie? Stephanie not here. Oh, she's not here. Okay. At least I send you the first page, yeah? Very important. That day Suyan took a photo, I think. Yeah. Okay, those who are doing the puja today, huh? You can come forward to light the candle and the incense. Huh? Then we can proceed with the puja. Huh? Come, who are the one? Huh? PJ? Bifong? You go ahead. Huh? Light the candle and the incense. Huh? Yeah, go ahead. It's already 8:15. Yeah, coming. Yeah, coming. Yeah, Sadhu. Coming. Hey, Sadhu. Yeah, coming. Yeah. We just about to start. Yeah. Once they light the, that one must ask Suyan. Only Suyan know how to do it. Mi Feng also should be able to. Before we do the puja, we will pay respect to Sakyamuni Buddha and the Triple Gem. Compose your mind, develop the faith, the sadha, the virya, then pay respect mindfully. Buddhang pujjami. Dhammang pujjami. Sanghang pujjami. Okay, we can start the puja now. we will offer the three person. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 Sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu, sadhu. For those who are new, sadhu means rejoicing in the wholesomeness, goodness, and the generosity of all the offering. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And rejoicing is one of the four Brahmavihara state of mind. Very, very beautiful state. When you rejoice, it will help you open up your heart. Then it will help you overcome envy, jealousy, unhappiness. Okay, thank you. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you can now go back to your seat. Then we can start the puja. Again, compose your mind. Pay respect mindfully to Sakya Muni Buddha three times. Okay, you can be seated. Then turn to page 4 of your chanting book. We will start the official puja chanting. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami Panatipata viramani sikapadang samadhiyami Adinadana viramani sikapadang samadhiyami Kamesu mitachara viramani sikapadang samadhiyami Musawada viramani sikapadang samadhiyami Suramiraya majapamadatana viramani sikapadang samadhiyami We are now Chanda Padipa Puja. Ganna Sarapa Dittena Dipeta Tamadang Sina Diloka Dipang Sambutang Pujayami Tamonudang Ganda Sabbara Yutena Dupenahang Sugang Hina Pujaye puniya niyantang Puja bhajana muttamang Vanna ganda gunopetang Etang kasumma santatin Pujayami munindasa Siripada sarorohe Pujemi buddhang kasumena nena Punnena matthena cha hotu mokhang Pupang milayati yatta idang me Kayo tathayati vinasabhavang Adivase tuno bante Paniyang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patiganhatu muttamang Okay, turn to page 18, the last page. We will do the puja aspiration by invoking the understanding of our offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind, arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fire of all defilement within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruits of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. We will now make the overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of this offering, may our spiritual faculties of sada, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the conditions and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now pay respect mindfully to Sakyamuni Buddha. Okay, very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Tonight, before we start the meditation, I got these two new books. Some of you may not have received this book. You can come forward and collect them. They are all here. Then those who have not been coming for a while, if you have not got the Heart Sutta, you can also collect them. This is the Heart Sutta short notes. They are very, very important. It's like a handbook to you. All of the sharing, the important essential Dhamma that I have shared thus far, except the Bodhisattva way or the higher teaching, they are all properly recorded here. So you make sure you keep a copy. Then this book we had given out earlier on, based on one of our Thursday class sharing. Who are you and what are you? If you have missed out this book, you can also collect them. Okay. Anybody who don't have, you come and collect. Go. Otherwise, you can wait till you on the way back. You can collect them too. Okay, I think there are one Kayamita who is new. I will give some instruction on how to develop the meditation. While the rest, if you already know how to meditate, you can start straight away. We will off the light. For those who are new, who need instruction, you listen. So according to the Buddha, the reason why living beings' mind are not peaceful is because they have these five mental hindrances. The five mental hindrances are sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind, and doubt. These hindrances, they hinder your mind from becoming peaceful, from developing the meditative state of inner peace and inner calmness, leading to inner awareness. That's why they are called mental hindrance. They hinder the mind. Because of that, living beings find it very difficult to develop the training of the mind to be peaceful. That's why they cannot meditate. They are hardly mindful. Most of the time, they are heedless. They think a lot. They have a lot of hindrance due to their habitual tendency, which they develop over time. So meditation is to develop a training of the mind to decondition this heedless thinking, to bring about the opposite five spiritual faculties. The Buddha called them Sadha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. The English translation is faith in the Buddha and his teaching, the spiritual zeal of tenacity to walk this way after understanding who the Buddha is and how wise he is and how beautiful his teaching is. Then the third spiritual faculty is very important. Sati is mindfulness. And mindfulness is awareness before the knowing. The moment your mind is silent, you are already aware. So you don't try to be aware. Trying to be aware is the thought. It will make you heedless. It will give rise to more thinking. So you don't try. You just silent or be attentive. When you are attentive without thought, you are also aware. So sati is very important. That's why when I say pay respect mindfully to the Buddha, it means body and mind, you move as one without thought. When the body and mind move as one without thought, you have sati. The fourth one is when sati stabilize, mindfulness stabilize, it becomes samadhi. Samadhi is the fourth spiritual faculty. Samadhi is a state of mind that is collected and unwavering. Yeah. When the mind is so peaceful, so calm, silent and aware within, until at the moment of sense experience, the mind does not stir, and that is samadhi. Then later on, the real samadhi is the one born of upekha or equanimity, born of wisdom within, that actually allow the mind to be equanimous, not to react and not to stir. Such a mind is a meditative mind. Such a mind can understand a lot of things. Yeah. So sati and samadhi is very important. The moment sati and samadhi is developed, the mind can see things as they are, without wavering, without stirring. Even in daily life, at the moment of sense experience, nothing happens. That's why you can have clarity to see things as they are, leading to jnana dasana, direct knowledge and vision of the reality. That is how the cultivator can awaken to the way. The last one is, of course, wisdom. The moment you have clarity to see things as they are, you will understand clearly who are you, what is this form and mind all about. And you will insight into the characteristics of nature, namely impermanence, suffering, state and non-self very clearly. And that's how you actually liberate your mind, develop wisdom. So wisdom is the last of the five spiritual faculty. When these five are there, the hindrance will be gone. So to overcome the hindrance, you only need to cultivate the opposite five spiritual faculty. And our meditation here is to develop this spiritual faculty. The first way is through our puja. The puja, we will develop some form of chanting. We take refuge. We pay homage. Then we develop the meritorious action. We pay respect. Then we also renew our precepts through our right view with regards to law of karma. Then we chant the puja offering and make aspiration for causes and conditions for our mind to develop all the spiritual faculty and virtue and understanding. All this will help you to develop the causes and conditions for you to walk the path of Dhamma smoothly, easily. Then the subsequent phase is when we start the meditation. You not only have already developed some form of stability in your spiritual faculty, you can also stabilize your mindfulness. Yeah. But for most people, because they seldom meditate, they seldom develop this puja training, they seldom cultivate the spiritual faculty because they don't understand. So they have a lot of heedlessness to deal with. So for people like that, we will advise you to develop some form of training of mind to help you to decondition the heedless thinking. What we will do is, we will combine two skillful means. We call mind sweeping method and metta, loving kindness, to help you decondition your heedless mind, your thinking mind. So I will now give you instruction on how to develop the mind sweeping method. Relax body and mind completely. Make sure your backbone is straight. Then allow your eye to close. If you are not used to closing your eye, you can open your eye. It's okay. It's optional. But for most people, you close your eye, there will be less thinking. So you close your eyes, silent everything, then you maintain awareness or attention at your forehead. Just feel your forehead. The moment you can feel your forehead, then you check if there is any tightness, any tension or any stress within. You silent your mind and silently relax into it. Feel that your entire forehead is soothingly relaxed. Then you move your attention down to your eye muscle. Do the same, feel. Don't think, just feel. Relax every part of your eye muscle. Any tension, any tightness, or any stress within, you just feel it soothingly. Relax, relax, and relax. Then you move your attention down to your facial muscle. Feel every part of your facial muscle. Make sure it is soothingly relaxed too. Then in order to assist you further, we can use loving kindness or metta to help bring about inner well-being. The mind sweeping method can decondition your heedless thinking and train your mind to be at the location you want it to be. Then your mind will be more peaceful. This will lead to inner peace. But inner peace without inner well-being is of not much use. So you must develop a mind that has metta, that has inner well-being. You can visualize yourself radiating a radiant smile facing a mirror. When you can smile, you have joy. When you have joy, you are relaxed automatically. A mind that is happy and peaceful with the joy only can radiate a radiant smile. So the moment you can radiate this radiant smile, there is this joy within, then you can be at peace. Then you can start by radiating loving kindness to your own body and mind. You can recite as follows. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. As you recite, you must feel it. When you recite, may I, this body and mind, you must feel the body and mind of mine. Be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness within each and every cells of your body, within your mind. Make sure that it is all very peaceful and very happy. Then you can repeat, may I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy, free from all harm, free from all danger, free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May it too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. Then may there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within your heart. Feel it. Feel the deep love, the deep joy, and the deep peace within. Silent everything. Then you can radiate the same metta to your loved ones. May my loved ones can be your parents, your very close relative, or your spouse, or your children, or your good friend, your brothers and your sister, your colleague, or anybody who has great affinity with you. You can also wish them, may my loved ones too be well and happy, from your heart. Visualize them, then you radiate your love from your heart to them. Then you can also radiate kindness to them. May my loved ones too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you can radiate the same to all Kayanamitas and beings within this vicinity. May all beings within this vicinity of Brother Sui An and Sister Mei Fong's house and all Kayanamitas, may they all too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May they all too be free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. then you can continue to radiate this love and metta to all beings throughout the existence. May all beings throughout the entire Supangjaya, excuse me, slang of state, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, planet Earth, solar system, our galaxy, Milky Way, and the whole of this universe. May all beings within the entire existence, may they all too be well and happy, free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May they all too be free from all harms and danger. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then you come back to your facial muscle. Again you feel your facial muscle and relax every strand within of your facial muscle. Feel it soothingly relaxed and peaceful. Then you move your attention to your neck, feel relaxed. Shoulder, feel relaxed. Hand, do the same, feel relaxed. Don't think, just feel and relax. Back to shoulder, then you move it down to your heart area. Just silence your mind and feel. You can detect any vibration within or your heartbeat. You just silence your mind and stay there. If you are new, you are not sensitive, then you just, like you do your mind sweeping method, you feel your heart and chest area, then you relax them. Just feel and relax every part within the heart area, your entire heart muscle, the chest area. Feel it soothingly, relax, relax and relax. Then you move your attention down to your stomach, feel, then relax. Then you move it down to your abdomen, do the same, feel, relax. Then your buttock, do the same, feel, relax. Then your leg. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. You can reverse this whole process of mind sweeping method. From your leg you feel, relax. Buttock, feel, relax. Abdomen, feel, relax. Stomach, feel, relax. No thought, just feel. Then you move to your heart again, silence everything and feel. You can detect any heartbeat or any vibration, especially your heartbeat. Then just silence your mind and stay there for a while, so that the mind is peaceful. If you can't, then you just relax and then move on to your shoulder. Hand, back to shoulder, just feel and relax. Then neck, feel, relax. Then back to facial muscle, feel and relax. Then eye muscle, forehead. By now you should be more peaceful and more calm. So now you can move on to develop the stability of mindfulness. If you feel that the mind sweeping method is useful, you want to repeat it, it's up to you. These are for people who need to train their mind to decondition their heedless thinking. Otherwise, you can now move on to Anapanasati. Anapanasati is the training of the mind to be mindful of the in and out breath. Anapana is in and out breath. Sati is mindfulness. So Anapanasati is mindfulness of the in and out breath. So now you relax body and mind. Maintain attention at your nostril where the breathing goes in and out. Just like you maintain attention at your forehead, you feel the forehead. Now you feel the breath in front of your nostril. As you silence your mind and just feel, it will detect the breathing. The breathing will go on naturally. Breathe in and breathe out naturally. Then when you maintain attention, like the Buddha said, when you detect the breath, breathing in, the body and the mind move as one. Here the body is the breath body, means the awareness and the breath move as one in complete harmony and synchrony. Just like what the Buddha described, breathing in, aware, breathing out, aware, means the mind and the breath move as one. Initially, if you are new, if you are not familiar with Anapanasati, you may find it very difficult. Then you can revert to any method or object of meditation that you are familiar with to train your mind. The only understanding you need to have is you have to completely silence your mind and feel. You don't go and use your thought to look for the object of meditation. Even if you are doing rising and falling, you just silence your mind and feel that abdomen area. The phenomena will come to you. Then when you detect it, it's just like breathing. Instead of breathing in, aware, the awareness of the abdomen rising, there is no word. It is just awareness and the phenomena move as one. Then that sati is totally different from what you all used to do. If you are familiar with chanting, dynamic meditation, or any object of meditation, if you find it appropriate, you can use it. Otherwise, the Buddha recommends Anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and out breath, which is a very neutral object. Anapanasati is very easy. The Buddha said you just maintain attention in front of your nostril, and every time aware, breathing in, aware, breathing out, aware. But this mind, if you are heedless and you have not trained it, it thinks a lot, it wanders off very fast. Split second, you are not with your breath already. So because of that, you can just silence everything, then maintain attention at the breathing. Every time the mind wanders off, do not panic, do not react, do not do anything. Just bring it back. Bring the attention back to the breathing. Maintain awareness of this breathing. Expect the mind to wander off many, many times if you are new. But as long as you are patient, not long, this mind will settle down. It will be able to detect the breathing. Then Anapanasati will start to move. It will start to flow. Then when you are mindful of the in and out breath, the mind has got no thought. It's just aware. And because it's just aware, it builds up energy. It builds up the spiritual peace and the spiritual calmness. Then you will experience a type of peace within. They call it piti. Piti is a spiritual calmness, spiritual rapture, born of a peaceful mind. Born of a mind that is in sati or mindfulness. So as piti arises, you will feel the spiritual rapture or spiritual joy, and you will like to meditate. Then you continue to relax into it and allow it to develop. Not long after a while, when you are skillful, this piti will become more and more refined until sukha develops. Sukha is a type of spiritual bliss, more refined than piti. Then when sukha develops, you allow it to be. Then during that time, your breathing will become like long breath. Very beautiful. Your whole of your breath will be like absorbed into it. Piti leading to sukha. Then you continue to relax into it. Sukha can transform further and become positive. Asati is the silent mind, the meditative mind, the tranquility and the stillness of mind, and it will arise after some time of training. So continue to relax body and mind, then maintain awareness of the in and out breath, then maintain this training until the mind becomes very calm, very peaceful and very subtle. Finally, the long breath will also slow down again until it become like very subtle, become like little or no breathing. It's not to say there is no more breathing. the breath has like become very short, very fine, very, very subtle. And to detect it, you need a more refined state of mindfulness. So that's the reason why you need to just silence that mind. Don't try to do anything. Don't try to move down to do sitting, touching and all those things. Forget about it. Just silence everything. Relax and just aware. If you can maintain awareness without thought for as long as you can, then this sparsity will arise. The tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind, the silent mind, that mind will be fully aware and just silent. And it can be aware of anything that that mind wants to be aware. Then you can locate the mind anywhere. If you locate at the breathing, the very fine, subtle breathing will come back to you. Then that sati is very different. It's like the whole of the breath is magnified. The whole of the process of that subtle breathing is like a very, very clear and long process of breathing. Yeah. Then there is clarity, a lot of clarity within. And that sati is very different. Then during the time when your mind is in sati, any movement of your kaya, very subtle and minor movement, can be magnified. And your mind is fully with it. That's what sati is. Then later on, this sati can also become very, very sensitive. When you locate it at the heart, it can detect the heartbeat. It can detect all the vibration. Without using the stethoscope, it's just silent. It will detect. Then you will be very clear, fully aware of the environment if you want to develop the awareness. Then you will develop the spacious awareness without center. Then the other one is specific phenomenal awareness within your own form and mind. Okay, I will allow you to train your mind and develop your own meditation. Then I will ring the bell in about 10 minutes time. Eh? Then for those who already have enough, you can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. For those who still want to meditate after the bell, you can continue, huh? It's up to you. Okay. Okay, for those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Always remember, try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed and trained. This is the meditative mind that you need to use to live life, to develop the daily mindfulness in life. And the real ultimate meditation is still daily mindfulness, heedfulness. You cannot be heedful throughout the day. You cannot develop the wisdom. Very difficult. Okay, now we will progress with the invitation of the devas. Before we continue with our second session, turn to page 6. I will read to you all the English translation. Invocation to the devas. In the universe in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the king or sage, which gives heaven and release nibbana. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. Pass the mic to Amy, and get her to help us to chant the Pali invocation.
Samanta Chakvalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Muni Rajas Sunantu Sakkamokkhadam Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Patanta Dhamma-savana-kalo-ayam-badanta
Namo-tassa-bhagavato-arahato-sammā-sambuddhassa Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa Iti peso bhagava arahaṃ sammasambuddho Vijja charana sampanno sukato lokavido anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manusanam buddho bhagavati Swakato bhagavata dhammo Sandhittiko akaliko Ehipaseko opanayiko Pachatang veditadbo vinohiti Supatipanno bhagavato savaka sangho Ujupatipanno bhagavato savaka sangho Nyayapatipanno bhagavato savaka sangho Samitipanno จิปัติปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆยะติตังจัตตาริวิสายุคานิอัตถปุริสปุกาลาเอสภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆอาหุเนโยดาหุเนโยดักขิเนโยอัญจาลิการาเนโยอนุตรังปุญญาเกตังโลกาสาธิสาธุสาธุสาธุOkay, we pay respect mindfully to Sakyamuni, huh? 3 times. Okay, you can relax yourself, huh? Maintain some form of attention, huh? Then we can start our second session, huh? Before we start our second session, I think for those who came in later, huh? There are 2 new books, huh? I think the Klang people, they haven't received this, huh? Except those who attended the briefing for the retreat, huh? Then please be reminded, huh?The retreat is this Saturday, huh? Today is Thursday. After tomorrow, the next day is the retreat, huh? Those going, you should actually prepare yourself, huh? Get yourself ready, then do all your packing. Then remember to bring the chanting book and this Heart Sutta book, huh? We will base it on this. There is no notes. This will be enough, huh? Then,You have to remember to bring your program. Huh? Those who have received them, you bring them along. Huh? Those who haven't received, you can collect from me when you are there that morning on the bus or when you reach my house. Huh? Okay. Those who don't have, huh? You want to collect, the books are here. Huh? Yeah. Or you can collect on the way out, huh? After the class. Then before I forget, huh?Eric, this is for your sister Singhua and the friend, huh? Yeah. I think there are 3 sets of each, huh? Except the book, this seminar one, I've given them extra 2 copies, huh? So they can give it to people who has the affinity, huh? Yeah. Okay, then there is also the video of our 10th anniversary gathering one, huh? So...We have extra, so I can give it to them. If they need any more, let us know. We can send it to you later. Okay. That's it. Then, if you got any question after you read through, you can ask. These are very, very special dhammas that you may not find in other places. They are very, very useful.They can bring for a lot of understanding. Then if you are a serious cultivator, the whole lot of cultivation is very clearly expressed and described within. And all the transcript and sharing, they are also very profound and very important, very useful. So it will set the base for most of you all.To develop the understanding of the cultivation. Yeah. That's why the Buddha described the Dhamma in 3 phases, is it? When you cultivate, there are 3 phases of Dhamma that you have to develop. Eh? I just write on the whiteboard. Three phases of Dhamma. Phase one is, what is phase one? Yes, pariyatti. What is pariyatti? Pariyatti is what? What is pariyatti? Yes, very good. Learning of the teaching or doctrine. Learning of the doctrine. That's why just now when we invoke the invitation to the devas, we ask them to listen to the doctrine of the sage. That one is the chart. I think this one is inside your heart sutta appendix. It's inside one of them. The last appendix is it? I don't know appendix what you can turn. Seven. It's folded. You can open it up. The three phases of Dhamma are clearly described there. So if you want to develop the understanding of the Dhamma, you have to go through these three phases. First phase is about the teaching. You have to develop clear understanding of what the Buddha is teaching. Unless you understand his teaching, you cannot put it into practice, cultivation, which is phase two of the Dhamma. So phase two of the Dhamma is Patipatti. So Patipatti, this one is putting the Dhamma into practice. Into cultivation, in daily life. So don't be too haste to go into meditation when you have yet to develop the understanding of the teaching. Spend some time on phase one. That's why you have to read through. You have to listen to Dhamma talk. You have to straighten your view. You have to develop the clear understanding of what this teaching is all about. Then from there you move. It's all clearly described in the Heart Sutta, not? That's why we have all this essential Dhamma. The Buddha talked about the five mental hindrances. This is where you start, the first category of Dhamma. So that you know why living beings are not peaceful. Why they can't develop the peaceful mind. Why their mind cannot be heedful, cannot be mindful, cannot be aware, cannot be silent, cannot be with the moment in silent awareness. Because of this hindrance, the mental hindrance, the five mental hindrance, they hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner calm. And why are they called hindrance? You have to reflect, contemplate, and check, investigate into it through your daily life. In the midst of life, the Buddha said, these hindrance, they are there, they are so powerful. And you keep on arising them until they become habitual. That's why when it's habitual, you will continue to live life that way. And the heedless, they have a lot of hindrance. When it becomes habitual, this hindrance keep on arising. It becomes like no need to think spontaneously. It just stir and react. That's why every moment of sense experience when you live life, when you see something, hear something, smell, taste, or technically feel something or recall something, the mind immediately reacts. Why? That's why you have to investigate into it. It's due to your conditioning, your wrong view, your fear, your phobia, your delusion, your selfishness, all this condition you to act. And as long as you are not mindful, not heedful, you cannot see all this. You cannot understand who are you, what are you, and how you become what you are. So first two is sensual desire and ill will. Like the word denote, sensual desire means positive craving, the desire of sense experience. When you see something pleasurable, nice scenery or beautiful form, maybe male or female, you are drawn to it, you are attracted to it, then there is this sense desire for it to be repeated. Then it goes into your memory through accumulative process. Thus you find it pleasurable, desirable. Then the mind every time dwell on it. Then like the Buddha said in the Sabbasava Sutta, which is the orange book, knowing and seeing. When you don't meditate and develop the direct seeing and the understanding, you will be deluded by it. So Sabbasava Sutta said, the first category of cultivation is to exercise right attention at the moment of sense experience. What is right attention? The Buddha said, right attention is when you pay attention to things that are fit for attention, which is the Four Noble Truths and its three turning, to develop the three types of corresponding wisdom. So if you don't do that, then you will fall into wrong attention. Means you attend to things that are unfit for attention, not conducive. That will lead to suffering, that will lead to delusion, heedlessness. So the Buddha described clearly in the sutta, what are the things that are unfit for attention? He said when you pay attention to them, the evil root that are still not in you, the lust, the greed, the hatred, the emotional negativity, envy, jealousy and fear, they will arise. And the arisen hindrance or asava, defilement, they will become stronger. So these are the things that are unfit for attention. This is just a very general way. So the Buddha later on, he subdivide all the defilements into various categories. He said there are some defilement you have to deal with it differently. When you know that there is wrong attention, means you have to develop right attention. Right attention, we are exercising what they call restraint, because you have developed the understanding of the Four Noble Truths and its three turning. You have contemplated into the second turning wisdom of this form via the five daily contemplation. Then the first turning, second turning and the third turning will develop the essential wisdom born of the three turning, which is Suttamaya Panya, Chintamaya Panya and Bhavanamaya Panya, especially the second turning wisdom, Chintamaya Panya. The contemplative wisdom like Buddha Nusati, Dhamma Nusati, Sangha Nusati, the four foundation of mindfulness, to develop all the wisdom, to straighten your view, to develop right understanding. Then the dependent origination. So within the four foundation of mindfulness, all of the essential teachings are all there. The daily mindfulness, sati sampajana, then dhamma nupassana, citta nupassana, vedana nupassana, and kaya nupassana. They are various forms of training leading to the insight, awakening. So when you develop them, then you will start to understand that these two, sensual desire and ill will, they arise constantly when you don't have right view, when you attend to things that are not fit for attention. Because when you attend, you don't have wisdom, the Buddha said, yoniso manasikara, then you cannot deal, then you have to fall. And how do you deal? You deal through understanding. That's why Sabbasava Sutta says certain defilement you need to exercise restraint, especially those precepts that you have already developed the undertaking to develop the training rule, not to violate them, not to kill, not to harm, not to cause misery, suffering, not to steal, not to lie, not to cheat, not to deceive and all those things, and not to even commit sexual misconduct or partake in those. So when you have condition that can give rise to that, when you are aware, you need to exercise restraint. Otherwise, you will succumb to it. You will fail in the upholding of the precepts. So that is the reason why when you cultivate, you need to develop all this understanding of the essential Dhamma, so that you can actually understand what constitute the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. So that you understand what constitute the five hindrances, what constitute the five mental faculty or spiritual faculty, and what are the four right effort, what are the seven factors of enlightenment, what are the four noble truths, what are the essential dhamma that links to the meditation, like the four foundation of mindfulness, the dependent origination of paticca samuppada, all this. You have to develop understanding. That's why phase one, you need to spend some time to develop the clear understanding. Then when you understand, then you realize every moment of sense experience, we either like or dislike. That's why positive craving and negative craving, and these are closely related to the evil root of greed and hatred. When your mind keep on reacting to sense experience, the duality will arise, like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. So all these are craving, positive and negative, greed and hatred. So because of that, when it becomes habitual, then your mind cannot have peace, because every time it sees something, hear something, smell, taste, or technically feel something, or think of something, it will just react. Because of the conditioning, because of the wrong view, because of the delusion, sakkayaditti. So the evil root keep on arising, the hindrance keep on arising. And when it becomes so habitual, like throughout the day you are doing it, how can you be peaceful? How can your mind have peace, have clarity? Impossible. Today I just sent out through the Maitrayanamitta, that Krishnamurti quote, which is very good, about the silent mind. I don't know how many of you have read it. How many of you have read it? Huh? Nobody have read it. Oh, some of you have read it. Very good. Well, it talks about the chattering mind. The mind that is so preoccupied with the thought process, the reaction, and the chattering. How can you perceive when the mind is doing all these things? That's why Krishnamurti also came to know. It's exactly what the Buddha teach. When you are reacting and stirring, you cannot have clarity. You cannot have the silence to see things as they are. Yeah, when your mind is lost in thought, preoccupied with what you think and what you feel and your reaction to sense experience, your mind is so preoccupied with all those things, heedless. That's why it's not aware anymore. It cannot understand the truth and the reality. It doesn't know what is going on, and there is no peace. That's why the hindrances are very powerful. They're not only sensual desire and ill will. When things don't go your way, when you violate your precept, when you have problems confronting life, especially when you confront the first noble truth reality, the eight conditions of birth, old age, sickness and death, separation from loved ones and the things that you hold on to dearly, your possession, your wealth, your career, everything. When you are with people whom you don't like, when you cannot get what you want, when things don't go your way. So all this, they give rise to suffering, the Buddha said. Then when you start to have all this problem and situation, your mind develops fear, worry, anxiety. And this is the cause of restlessness. That's why this hindrance, udacca kukucca, the Pali word is very funny, but its meaning is your mind become very restless. Restless because of what? Because there is fear, there is worry, there is anxiety. There is a lot of problem. That's why this mind that has problem, never peaceful, restless, because it worries, it has anxiety, and so on. It is insecure, unhappy, miserable, suffering. Just like this hindrance is very powerful. If you don't keep your precept, if you don't have good karma, you constantly get hit by this hindrance, restlessness. Then if you don't study the teaching, if you don't have the understanding of the Buddha Dhamma, you will have a lot of doubt. You don't understand what life is all about. How come like that? Everything don't seem to be right. Nothing seems to be right. Then why are you so sweet? Why other people are like very lucky, very blessed? Why are you born like that when other people are maybe born in a much more fortunate environment and situation? So all these things you can answer. Then you thought you worked very hard. You thought you have actually done your duty. But actually you cannot see your own selfishness, your own delusion, your own emotion, your own irresponsible character. But yet you think you have done everything that should need to be done. And yet your life is miserable. Then you blame God. You blame everything except yourself. But the Buddha's teaching is the opposite. He said, each and every one of us, we are what we are, according to our karma. Because he said, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, condition and supported by. And you are what you are every moment, every instant because of your karma. You cannot blame anybody for your life situation and condition. So when you understand that, then you should wake up and try to understand his teaching. That's why phase one of the Dhamma is very important. You have to move into it, understand it clearly. Then when you understand the first right view, law of karma, wake up, don't sleep anymore. Develop clear understanding. Then how can you maintain this good karma so that you can have the good life? Because each and every being, the Buddha said, you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned, supported by your karma, and you are what you are because means your whole of life, entire life, 99.99%, depend on karma. And you somehow don't want to take care of karma. That's why you will become miserable. Your life will become afflicted. Yeah? Then you cannot blame anybody for what happened to you. So how do you take care of karma? Very simple, the Buddha said. You follow his advice. Avoid all evil, do good, purify the mind. How do you avoid all evil? Yes, avoid all evil, do good, purify the mind is the advice of the Buddha, Dhammapada verse 183, the famous verse. Sabba papasa akaranang kusalesa upasamadan sacitta pariyotapanang etang buddhana sasana. This is the advice of our Buddha. If you want to have a good life, you have to avoid all evil. Sabba is all. Papasa is evil. You have to avoid. Not only avoid evil, avoid all evil. Then whatever wholesomeness and goodness, you must cultivate and develop it. That's why the four right effort to abandon the unwholesome thought, promote the wholesome thought, then perfect on it, refine and perfect on it. So all these are in the teaching. Then you have to develop wisdom, otherwise with the good karma, good merit, you still are not free from life, what they call potential suffering. The first noble truth reality can still hit you despite your materialistic wealth and success in life, even your very good karma, your very good blessing. You can have better condition, but when you confront certain reality like separation from loved one, old age, sickness and death, your wealth cannot help you much. Because mental suffering is real, attachment, clinging through delusion is real. And this one needs wisdom to free. That's why you need the spiritual understanding. You have to cultivate wisdom. That's why avoid all evil to good. You have to purify your mind. Otherwise, you still get entangled. So spend more time on developing the understanding of this Dhamma. Phase one, learning of the doctrine. Then when you see clearly the importance of law of karma, do not procrastinate. Make haste in training your mind to be ever mindful, to be heedful, to see your mental intention, then understand the essential Dhamma, what constitutes evil, what are the three evil roots, what constitutes wholesomeness, goodness, what are right thought, what are wrong thought, then what constitutes right speech, right communication, what constitutes right action, right way to attend to things and do things, then what constitutes right living or livelihood. Then what are the four right efforts that you must cultivate? Then what are the mindfulness foundation that you must develop? Then what are the samadhi that you have to stabilize and develop? Then the noble eightfold path fall into place. Then you need to develop your own understanding of the three right view. Law of karma is only the first one, but they are already very good, very powerful. From there, all the teaching, most of it comes about. The second right view is very important. You must understand the Four Noble Truths. The Four Noble Truths describe to you clearly what life is all about. When you understand the Four Noble Truths, you understand the secret of life. Well, all of life, the Buddha has described it clearly in just Four Noble Truths. And these are called Noble Truths because they can bring about enlightenment and make you noble ones when you develop the clear understanding of the teaching of this Four Noble Truths. Because Noble Truths are truths that can make you noble ones or enlightened ones. And the whole thing is described in my seminar book, Success in Life via Meditation, Following the Dhamma Way. It's very clearly described there. Yeah. You want to understand life, you want to understand the teaching, how it benefits you, the benefits of meditation, they are all described there. And that is a very useful book for all people. You don't need to know the Dhamma to understand that paper. That paper just describes to you clearly, very scientifically, what the Buddha's teaching is all about and how it can benefit living beings and how it can improve your life. That's why success in life, not only materialistic life, spiritual life. So all of life, you need to develop understanding. The Buddha's teaching is the only free lunch in this world. He never charged anything. Even our Dhamma book, we give it free because you cannot put a price on truth. Truth is beyond monetary value. And truth is something that exists within nature. It's only how you can comprehend it, develop the understanding of it, then you can be a blessing to all. Then you will continue to share and develop this goodness and wholesomeness. Because the more you share, the more you give, the more people get blessed, the more people receive the wholesomeness, and the world consciousness will evolve, and we will have a beautiful world. Then the world will create a beautiful universe. Yeah. That's why all this, they can evolve. If living being, the individual, can transform. Each and every one, you have a duty to develop your own understanding and wisdom so that you can be a blessing to all. Then coming back to the second phase. After you have developed understanding of this, the Buddha said, if you only understand it theory-wise as knowledge and you don't put it into practice, it may not serve you well. Understand? It's just like one of the Kayanamita, I remember, she contemplated. She wrote to me, it was quite a nice way of putting it. He said, this lady like cooking, I think. He liked to go and collect all the recipe for cooking, remember that? Recipe book, if you want to be a good cook. Then after she collect the recipe, she will try to put it into trial. Then he will taste it. Then he will improve on it. So he said, Brother Teo, these three phases of Dhamma is so beautiful. Phase one is that the analogy is like you go and collect recipe. You can have the best recipe book as written by very famous, maybe cook or what. But you don't cook it. That recipe still remain a recipe. It's just like in life, you may be very knowledgeable, but you cannot apply what you understand. You cannot live that living reality. Means this Dhamma, after you have learned, developed the understanding, but you cannot put it into practice. Understand? It cannot be a part of you. It cannot become a living reality. So no meaning. Understand? It's still at a knowledge level. It's still not understood. Not much use. Even in the stock market, it's the same. I remember our previous finance minister, Tun Tan Siew Sin. People go and ask him about the stock market. He said, no need to know economics. Very simple. He said, buy low, sell high, you sure make money. Correct? But the only problem with you all is you all don't know how to buy low and sell high. You end up buy high and sell low. Why is it out of greed and fear you do the opposite? the logic and the understanding is very simple, but how come you cannot do it? Well, you don't understand the market psychology and the operation behind stock market. You are overwhelmed with greed and fear. You don't have wisdom. That's why with greed and fear, you will lose money. You will fall. When the market is very bullish, yeah, you hear people make money, there are a lot of good rumor. Tell you you didn't buy, go up. Didn't buy, go up. Then after that, you, in Hokkien, clang people Hokkien, you be tahan, you go and buy. After buy, go up a little bit some more, you happy, you tell your friend, you tell your relative, family member, oh, this stock very good, I bought. Then after that, suddenly the market crash. Then everybody asks, hey, what happened, what happened? Then after it crashed, they say, don't worry, temporary only, it will recover. And every time go down, also go up. What goes down must what goes up must come down, they forgot. They said, don't worry, it will go back on. Then after that, the crisis become worse and worse, prolonged. Then what happened? Oh, they see the share price keep on dropping, dropping, dropping. Because you are not a fund manager. Fund manager know how to manage their risk. So they cut loss. They limit their loss to 10%. They cut and they come out of the market. But you don't know because you are very... very attached and very emotional. You hold on to your stock. You say, I lose money, I cannot sell. I'm going to wait till it recover, or at least I don't lose. Then you keep on holding, holding, holding. Then you saw, maybe you buy $3. $2.50 you don't want to sell. Drop to $2. Wow, you say lose $1. Lucky don't want to sell. Then you hold. Until it becomes 50 cents, then you panic. He said, ah, yo, otherwise, Cantonese this time, lin zha de mo, quickly sell. Yeah, yesterday, I think Sister Wendy and the husband came and see me and my wife. It was a very good discussion. The husband was also a reminder. So Wendy actually wanted the husband to help her to invest. He said, no, you better go and see Brother Teo. He asked her husband why. He said, you leave it to me. When market crash, I panic, I sell low. That is his fear. But now he improved already. Yet he doesn't want to do it because the wise money, he doesn't want to be irresponsible. And he has seen me before and he know my understanding is different. The way I go about investing is I don't speculate, I don't listen to rumor. I check, then I develop understanding, then I buy. Then I develop understanding as when to sell. Because when you understand the stock, when you have certain amount of good understanding, you can like able to predict, but it's not really predict because you will know. After you buy, you know, this stock is undervalued. It has growth potential. It has the ability to give a reasonable yield, understand not? Because my benchmark is very simple. I put in the bank, risk-free investment, how much do I get? About 3 to 4%. If I need to buy a stock and take risk, my yield must be at least double that. Otherwise, why should I take the risk? It's stupid, isn't it, to do that. But people are very funny, you know, in the market. They just want to make a little bit, you know, because they like to speculate. Buy, go up, got copy money, sell, take service. But when they are caught, one shot they return everything plus their principal. So I used to tell those people, if you don't know how to invest, you end up like that. You win very little, but you lose big money. So, that formula don't use. You know, that formula is actually losing money. That's why everything needs understanding, just like Dhamma. So, phase two, patipatti, putting the Dhamma into practice so that that Dhamma can really become a living reality, so that you can actually put it into real life practice. You not only can hold your precept, you understand how to deal with defilement, you know how to avoid all evil, you know how to do good, you know how to train your mind, and you are ever mindful, heedful. And you are so beautiful. And then when you really penetrate and develop the clear understanding of phase two, when you awaken, phase three come about. Phase three is what? You look at the notes. Pativeda. This is the friction of your hard work. Friction of your hard work. So when you reach this phase, this is the most beautiful phase of your life. Because this is true living. You live the life of a noble one. Yeah? Living the life of a noble one. Living life of a noble one. Noble one is an enlightened one. So you live a life of peace, love, compassion, and understanding. And this is the most beautiful phase. Yeah. So this, they are all described there. Huh? This is the most beautiful phase of one's life, where one can truly live life to the fullest, to experience all of the noble life as described below. Life becomes much more meaningful and good because no more suffering. You are able to understand life clearly, hence a lot of joy, happiness, peace, love, and compassion. Then you are always heedful. So you live life heedfully. So one is able to experience all of the wonders and beauties of life while in this world because of your ability to be mindful and heedful within the moment. Yeah. Then the fourth one is able to always act righteously with wisdom, love, and compassion. Then the fifth one is always heedful to live the noble life of peace, joy, happiness, hence no more heedlessness. Then the sixth one is able to live life in accordance with one's understanding, noble understanding. Hence, no more fear, worry, and anxiety. Yeah. So you no need to worry about life anymore. Then the seventh one is always mindful of one's action, speech, and thought process. We are living the noble life of heedfulness. Then lastly, you understand precisely that this form of mind is not oneself, but only a karmically conditioned vehicle and tool for one to use to live out this segmented life while in this world. See? So beautiful. So if you don't see the importance of this, then I don't know what life is to you. You can follow that. So these are the three phases of Dhamma. If you can develop the clear understanding, you should actually do not procrastinate anymore. Make haste, like the Buddha says, strive on your heedfulness. Because this third phase, Pativeda, is the most beautiful. And it can happen. Even you can leave that phase for half a year, it's beautiful. But for those who are more fortunate, who has cultivated before, or who are very sincere, diligent, and full of faith, you can develop it early, and you can have many, many years of beautiful Pativeda, third phase of the Dhamma, to really, really be a blessing to all. So we look forward to that. This year, I think Kayanamitta will grow further, and those who are serious, they will actually progress very fast. So I leave it to you, your life. Okay, we now open up for meditation reporting. You can report your meditation. Then you can also ask questions related to the meditation, the Dhamma, and whatever that you want to understand. How to put all this into practice. We still got 35 minutes. Anybody? Make full use of this session to ask me questions, because if you don't ask, there's no condition. You just have to report sincerely what happened during meditation. Then you can ask questions. Anybody? Nobody. maybe the lady at the back. You got question? Yeah. Pass the mic to her. Yeah, she was talking to the doctor. Yeah, I just ask anything. Push it out. Push the mic out. Push it all the way out. Yes.
Prabhu Teo.
Yeah.
Because during meditation,
yeah.
I feel my vibration like that. And
okay. How do you start? Can you describe the whole process? How do you start your meditation? Then how you end up with the vibration?
Normally, I start with metta.
Okay.
Then after that is this. Last time I as I said.
Now today no. What you do?
Today no vibration, but just that sometimes.
Oh, this question is from previous meditation.
Yes.
Okay, you can ask. You can tell me what happened.
Vibration means what?
No. You have to describe to me how you develop the meditation, then how the vibration come about and what type of vibration. Because there are a lot of meaning to the word vibration. Are you swelling? Or are you vibrating? Or is just you can feel the vibration within your body?
Feel like jelly.
How you start in the meditation, then how you end up like that?
When I have a more concentration that time.
What you do, the word more concentration is a word, but what you do until you think there is more concentration, what did you do? More important.
Concentrate on the breath.
Okay, are you able to do it? Concentrate means focusing on.
Yes, focusing on the breath.
So you are focusing on one area of the breath.
Yes.
Is it around your nostril area? Or?
Yes, nostril.
Then what happened?
Like jelly feeling, like bouncing feeling.
I know, which part? Which part? The whole body or what?
Like whole body.
Then what do you do?
But for a short while only, then.
Yeah, then what do you do when it happens? What do you
just
do?
Just relax and enjoy it.
Okay, fair enough. Then after that, what else? You say for a while it disappears. Okay, now I ask you back. Why do you meditate? What is your understanding of meditation? You are sitting there meditating to do what? If you meditate with understanding, you will answer your own question. Answer or not?
Yes. Last time I tend to lose my aim. Now I keep
Yeah. What is your aim through understanding what we have shared with you?
To get rid of greed, hatred and delusion.
That is just words. What are you supposed to train when you are in the form of meditation? If your mind is not trained, there is only word to get rid of greed, hatred and delusion. But the mind that is heedless cannot get rid. Understand? No? So, meditation is about understanding. You want to get rid of greed, hatred and delusion. So you know what must you do. That's why you go to meditation. To train your mind. Train your mind to be what?
To be heedful.
To be heedful. Are you doing that?
I'm trying my best to do
it. It's not to say you try. Now I try to guide you. Are you doing that? Because what you are doing is you focusing on your breath. You don't know why you focus on your breath. Understand?
Yes, I'm confused.
I never ask you to focus on your breath. I just say, do anapanasati. What is anapanasati? Mindfulness of the in and out breath. And you do is because of what? You want to stabilize the sati. Because your sati is not stable. That's why the Buddha recommend anapanasati. Anapanasati is the first category of training under kaya nupasana. Understand?
Yes.
So anapanasati and focusing are two different things. The Buddha say breathing in aware. Means what? Like I said, just maintain attention in front of your nostril, then silent. Then when the breath arises, the mind will detect it, understand not? Through an awareness. Then when you detect it, just follow. Breathing in, aware, the mind and the breath as one, understand not? Did you do that?
Yes.
If you do that, you cannot be focusing, understand not? You cannot be absorbed into it, understand not? Then your body won't vibrate, understand not? you are not doing that. You try to focus. What do you? Focusing is easier. It make you calm. It make you peaceful. Like you say, enjoy. I mean, fair enough. A lot of people want to develop peace. That's why they want to focus and concentrate. Nothing wrong with that. But you must do your understanding as well. You can build up concentration first before you relax and come out to do mindfulness. It's up to you. You can go to samatha first, then release it and come out. It's up to you. But meditation is to be done with understanding. Understanding means what? You are here to train your mind to be aware, to be heedful, so that the spiritual faculty of sati can arise. Understand? Because your puja already allow you to develop the other spiritual faculties, sadha and virya. Sadha you develop through the puja, because you chant the nine great virtues of the Buddha. So this Buddha Nusati, you recollect the nine great virtues of the Buddha. Who is he? Through understanding clearly that he is the Sammasambuddha, fully enlightened one, not only enlightened, fully enlightened. Perfect in wisdom and virtue. To have such a great being to be your teacher, you should actually count your blessing. You will have a lot of gratitude and respect and faith towards him. And his teaching, if you put to test, investigate into it, you realize it can bring about enlightenment in the here and now. And it's so powerful, so beautiful. For me, about 40 over years ago, 1971, the moment I read about the Four Noble Truths, I determined to go all out to cultivate this teaching. Because this is the most important thing that I need to understand in life. If I don't understand this teaching, I cannot understand life. That's why with that faith, with that virya, I just strive on and I just want to understand it. At that time, nobody can teach me. Nobody can tell me all this teaching. So I have to find out myself. And it took me many years. So from 71 I came, then I developed some own self-practice, then I read up some book. I was very lucky indeed because my past cultivation helped me. Then it took me many years after that, after I graduated in 79. Then I became more serious after that. Then I met certain very, very good teachers and guides. So it was the year 1986. Many things just happened. Then within that 3 years, everything just happened. That's why you have to develop the condition for that spiritual faculty to develop. The sadha and the virya, when you understand who the Buddha is and how great he is and the importance of this teaching, then you will determine to walk this way, to learn the teaching. That's why sadha lead to virya. Then the third spiritual faculty, when virya is there, it will drive you to cultivate. So cultivate, that's why you go for retreat, you go for meditation, you attend meditation class, you attend Dhamma sharing class to develop the understanding, the wisdom, to straighten your view, to learn about pariyatti, then go into patipatti. That's why you must spend time to have clear understanding of what is it that you are developing in the name of meditation. So even though you are here to train your mind to be mindful, to be heedful and to stabilize it, so that you can use this heedfulness to cultivate sati sampajana in daily life, the noble eightfold path. And then this is what you must do. Whatever happens, you check. If you are not following instruction to develop all this, then you are wasting your time. Understand? You are just experiencing something that people like to experience. The peace, the calmness, the metta, and all those concentration jhanas and all those things. Not to say they are irrelevant. No. If you understand, they are pretty irrelevant. And you can go through all of those things, because the Buddha also went through, many yogi also went through. In the early year, I also went into it, the absorption through anapanasati. I developed until anapanasati becomes so absorbed. I went into apana samadhi. I didn't know at that time. And it was so strong. And you think that is the state that liberates your mind. Then later on, When I came out to work, then only I realized this samadhi, if you constantly hold on to it and develop the constant practice, then you can carry it whole day inside your heart, your mind. But the moment you come out to work and you spend less time developing the meditation, then you realize this mind can still stir. The conditioned state, the samatha state, they can still stir, because when you don't meditate so often, you lose that energy that holds the mind together. Yeah. That's why you become more and more heedless. Then when you go back into more and more the daily life and you think of developing your financial freedom, then you want to work very hard for money, then you want to become famous. That's why at that time the thought come, I want to study law to enhance my engineering degree, then I want to become somebody very resourceful so that I can get better job, I can get better pay. That very funny thing. After a while, suddenly I realize, this mind stir again. Last time never stir. Then I realize this is craving, it come already. Then the energy that the Buddha talked about, the glass of water, with the if you don't stir, it settles down, the water look clear, like you already ready, oh, finish your cultivation. But the moment there's condition, somebody stir, that anasaya or latent tendency, the sediment which is not rooted out, they will arise again. That's why the evil, the hindrance, they will arise again. Then I realize all these are temporary. They are not wisdom, not permanent solution. It cannot root out defilement. These are all energy field suppression. Yeah. Then later on, I met one teacher, very good, one Thai monk, Prachan Yantra Amarubhikkhu. He was my first Theravada real good teacher that can tell me something about the mind and what is the highest meditation. That's why from there I reverse my whole cultivation. I go back into daily mindfulness and I develop the constant bowing. That one was taught to be by my refuge teacher, Xuan Hua, Master Xuan Hua. He passed away many years back, at the age of 80 or 80 plus a bit. So all this understanding, they come about because of affinity and karmic condition. So because of that understanding, then when I reverse all this cultivation, then I start to understand clearly what the Buddha's teaching is all about. And after I develop that understanding, I didn't even do anything for 14 to 15 years. I think 15 years. Well, nobody know and nobody understand. Then wait for condition. Just like Hui Ning. Hui Ning was with the, I think the hunters. After he left the temple, from the fifth patriarch, he inherited the sixth patriarchship. He was with the hunters for 16 years. Then when condition finally arise, he came out. Then he became very, very famous. So Dhamma is like that. When people cannot understand, there is no condition, and very difficult for you to share something that they couldn't comprehend. So now there is condition. That's why I try to share what I understand. Then this bring about the condition for me to speak on. The Tuesday class, they wanted me to share this Diamond Sutta. You heard of this sutta? Mahayana Sutta, Vajra Prajna Paramita Sutta. And this is a very beautiful sutta. I didn't even know really much about this sutta until they asked me to share. Then I started going in to flick through the book. Then I realized one part which I think Sakyamuni Buddha asked Subhati. Subhati is one of the, I think, Arahant disciple of the Buddhas. Because it clear up the delusion part. Many people ask, Can a sotapan, means the first stage of sainthood, still have the thought that he is a sotapan? And the way they answer, very beautiful. Then they continue. Can a sakadagami also have that thought? Then they continue until bodhisattva. Then the other thing that I saw was when I flicked to the beginning chapter, the introduction, I realized when Huining came out, when he became quite famous, actually there is a group of monks, very highly, I think they are very highly trained and supposed to be very famous and all this thing. But they decide to invite him to come out to share the Dhamma. I don't know if it was at the instruction of the emperor or what, I was not sure. We are in that book, Introduction, commentary by Huining. It was written. Then you know what he did? His opening teaching was very beautiful. He said, actually, the Dhamma is very simple. He said, enlightenment is very simple. Then he said, I'm here to share with you, to teach you. Because after he understood, after he penetrated from what they call the fifth patriarch handover, he said, I can tell you very easily, very clearly, very directly what this thing is. The only thing you need to do is you have to cultivate. You have to put in the hard work and do it. That's it. And really, after you understood, just like what I explained to you, it's not difficult. So far, everything I teach you, you can follow on it using your logical understanding or knowledge. Nothing what they call like esoteric or mystical, understand? Like beyond you one, you cannot know one. Then can talk on it on. Impossible to do one. Like that, what for? But what is being explained by the Buddha actually, and those who already understood, actually is very simple. Every time I tell you what, you just silent your mind. The moment you are silent, you are already aware. You are already your true mind, true nature. Actually, you are already there. And you can awaken. But why human beings cannot silence their mind? Why? Because the hindrance, understand? Because you never cultivate the opposite five spiritual faculties. You are heedless. The moment you become heedful, you will understand very fast. And you just awaken like Huining. He heard just one verse from the Diamond Sutta. The mind must have no dwelling. He become what they call suddenly like awakened. Suddenly like he understood the whole thing. What does the Diamond Sutta trying to describe? He is an illiterate, woodcutter. He never go to school. He never read any sutta. He never heard of any teaching. And yet, that moment, that instant when he heard that stanza, the mind must have no dwelling. Sing wu so chu. Straight away he awakened. Great awakening. Why can't you awaken? Because he is different. He has cultivated before. Then when that life he was born with a very special mind. He don't have a mundane mind. His mind is already the supramundane mind. Because when he's young, he's not conditioned by anything. He just go about doing his thing with that mind. That's why that mind has clarity. That mind is silent. That mind can understand many, many things. And it can see things as they are very clearly, the truth and the reality. So coming back to your question, I hope you don't mind. It is to actually benefit you, that's why I describe this. Because if you don't ask, there's no condition. So you are not the only person. In fact, most people are doing that. I can tell you. A lot of the so-called meditator, cultivator, even practitioner, can be ladies or monk or what. Most of them, in fact, you'll be very surprised. They just follow instruction. They do without much understanding. Not all, but most of them. Because they are so gullible. They actually get conditioned by what they heard. Then because of greed, they go and develop this type of meditation. Because people will use all this word vipassana, means insight meditation. And they associate vipassana with what? The method and the technique and the teacher. The worst is to associate with the technique and the method. You do this type of nothing or this type of method or this type of meditation, this is vipassana. Then the most strange thing that I heard is, it was even written in book, if I'm not wrong. People say, those people doing that type of vipassana meditation, he said, you do anapanasati, it becomes samatha. And the Buddha did anapanasati. The Buddha never do that rising, falling. The thing that the Buddha never do become vipassana. The thing that the Buddha do becomes samatha. So it has become like that. So how come it become like that? Actually, it's nothing to do with the method and the technique. Vipassana got nothing to do with the method and the technique. Vipassana is any type of meditation that can bring about insight into the three characteristics of nature. Anicchang, Dukkang, Anatta. The three universal characteristics. And that is vipassana. And vipassana, you cannot do one. No. Vipassana is a wisdom, the insight to it. You have to train your mind until the seven factors of enlightenment are there, until the condition are there, the three turning, the three type of wisdom, Chintamaya Panya, Suttamaya Panya, then Bhavanamaya Panya. Then when the condition is fulfilled, it will happen, it will insight. It is not a method and a technique. It's wisdom, direct seeing, Jnana Dasana. The mind has to be silent and heedful. Then any time it will arise. You can go and check all those who awaken what meditation they do. They can tell you, even you read Mahabhava, Ajaman, even all the so-called enlightened being. I remember Ajahn Chah. You know how he became enlightened? How did Ajahn Chah become enlightened? It's written in his book. How many of you read about it? Nobody read about it. How Ajahn Chah become enlightened? Anybody? I think Andrew know that. Share. You don't know. He was walking. Then he very tired. He want to rest. He said, as he was sitting down, the village nearby, I think something went on, a festival, I don't know what. Then all of a sudden, one vibration, I don't know what, happened. Then all of a sudden, the mind become silent. Then Zok went in. Went in deep inside. Then the whole thing, like cessation, silent. Then to him, it's like explosion inside. Then after that, when he come out, the mind come out, he completely understood the Dhamma. Therefore, Xu Yin also same. He meditate like mad. You know who is Xu Yin? Guang Qing Lao. Xu Yin Lao He Sang, the 120 years old Zen master, teacher of Master Sun Hua and many Zen master. He is the famous, most famous in the 18th century or 19th century, even in China. He is the patriarch before Sun Hua and all this. He was the one that unified all these people. He was in the retreat meditation. Then all of a sudden one day, he went for one retreat, but he got into trouble. He almost drowned. Then the fisherman caught him. Then he was very sick. But he still determined to go to the temple that hold the retreat. And because he was late, then they asked him, are you joining the retreat? He said he couldn't join. Couldn't join. The Sangha got a rule. They had to punish him. So the discipline monk, I think, punish him. Then he just bear it, endure it. He just keep quiet. Then he's silent and on his own he meditate, but nothing happened until the whole retreat over. Then he decide to stay on and join what they call a non-official retreat, I think, among themselves. Then one day while they were meditating, there is a attendant who served the tea, remember? In the monastery, it's very common. And this tea is very hot in the sauna. So that day, when he was serving tea for Xu Yin, he was holding on to the cup. Then all of a sudden, the attendant poured it onto his hand, accidentally. He didn't scream, but he felt that thing burning. Then what happened? It just opened up the hand. You call it let go. Because when you feel the heat, you will just respond. The moment it responds, nothing happened. But the moment that cup hit the floor, that click sound, he described in his poem after that. He developed great enlightenment. He said that instant when that thing happened, he said, that vibration, the mind just suddenly like pulverized. You know what is pulverized? Become powder. Everything pulverized. No more. Like space is pulverized. Means he went into cessation. Yeah? No meditation. Then he just awakened. How come it can be like that? Nothing to do with the method and the technique. It can happen anytime, anywhere. So, don't be gullible, understand? You go to retreat. The main focus is to make full use of the condition, the conducive condition, to train your mind, to develop the stability of mind that you can to realize the cessation. We are in the form of meditation with the condition. It's so much easier. And it can be done. And you can stabilize the spiritual faculty and develop the heedfulness, then can carry that state into the daily life. That is the real meditation. You go in and out of retreat. After that, you come back to daily life. You don't know how to bring this state into the daily life to be heedful. Forever, you can never develop the enlightenment unless your past cultivation is very strong. Yeah. Otherwise, very, very unlikely. So meditation is to be done with understanding. Understanding is what? You know you have hindrance because you have not cultivated the spiritual faculty. So when you go to retreat, focus on the spiritual faculty. That's it. Maintain mindfulness, heedfulness. Train your mind until very stable. If you already train, you go to retreat very much easier. Because at home, in the daily mindful, you already can settle down. Then when you come to Thursday class, you can meditate very easily. A lot of Kayamita can do that. They just sit down, they're silent already. No need to settle down. Yeah. And some of them, the daily mindfulness is so strong. They say little or no thought already. So all this, when you go to retreat, I tell you, your type of mind is so different and retreat condition is so conducive. They will go into cessation very fast. They will progress very fast. And they will have a lot of joy. And many of you can do it if you really have the faith. So this is my message to you. Make full use of the retreat. There are some who cannot get the leave. Because of GST and other things. But they have made it a point that weekend to come up. They intend to come out that Friday. They take one day off Friday. You can join us for the weekend. Friday, Saturday, then Sunday we leave. So at least you come out early. You can reach there before 1 o'clock. Then you can have 1.5 to 2 days of full meditation there. So it's up to you. If you want to go out, you better inform Sui An, Brother Sui An. He is very kind, helping to coordinate all these things. Of course, he got other people to help him too. But don't be too late, because once they settle down in the retreat, try not to have too many of this. You inform early, he make a note, then he know, then he will wait for you all. Or when you all come, he will know what to do. He has to plan a little bit. So far, there is like perfect matching. Because on the 19th, about 3 or 4 will leave. Then the weekend, so far about 4 is coming up. Huh? So if you really have leave problem, if you want to join, you can still make it if you want to take the weekend. Huh? Or you can take 2-day leave, then Thursday you can come up. On the way back, the bus can take you, no problem. The bus have enough place. Huh? Yeah. We still got about 8 places, if I'm not wrong, 7 or 8 places in the bus. Because some of them are driving. So we got a total of 46 plus this 4, about 50. But at any one time, I think it's still 46 because some leave and some come. So if you really serious and have this, what they call determination, you just let us know. Then remember to bring along the Heart Sutta book. Then develop your sadha, your faith very strong. Then when you are there, commit yourself to really, really train. No need to do anything, just relax, silence your mind and be mindful, that's it. Then develop spiritual faculty, contemplate, reflect, read through the notes, understand clearly, then listen. First 4 days listen, a lot of essential dhamma will be shared. Then when you are there full time, don't think about work and all those things, just focus on the sharing, then meditate. If you do it beautifully for 8-9 days, it's more than enough. Your mind will transform, you will become beautiful. And it's so easy. Last time I remember, the year 1987 or 88, when I was there at the retreat. My retreat was only 4 days. I think 4 days, 3 nights. And yet, it's enough. I settled down very fast. Immediately when I went there, I can feel the nature, the energy very different. Then the very first day, I settled down already. Then I can just sit and do all those meditations. That's why everyone is different. If you have that faith, the spiritual faculty will help you. Sadda is most important. Have faith in the Buddha Dhamma, the teaching. Have faith in whoever you believe that teacher is a good teacher. Everything will go in, I tell you. Nothing for you to lose, understand? That faith can move you, can bring forth the condition. It's because I have great faith in my teacher and my guide, those that I know has the Dhamma. That's why I book rest very fast, I move. Then I listen attentively to what they say. Because they have actually developed the understanding. That's why the words they say are very important. It points towards the truth, the Dhamma, very clearly. It's only whether you can understand them or not. The moment you understand, you have faith, you will penetrate. Then you will just do. No doubt, no question. The hindrance are no more. But if you hold on to the doubt, you will have problem. If you want to compare, the book say this, this monk say this, my dad teacher say this, now Brother Theo say this, you don't know what to do. Then that doubt is there. When you have doubt, you cannot meditate. So it's a hindrance. Why must you have doubt? Forget about what people say, you investigate. Then after listening for so long, after cultivating for so long, you still cannot make that choice. It's too bad. Because there is no teaching that is not clear. Everything that is being shared, you can put it to test. You can experience it. And you can know roughly that this has to be it. Otherwise, it cannot tally like that. It cannot be so clear. So all this, you have to develop your own faith, your own understanding. And when the faith is there, I still remember. I penetrate very fast. Even when I travel to Thailand to meet all those teachers. Then when I travel to Australia, New Zealand, and all the various spiritual places, even Japan and all those things. But very funny, I never go India. I never go Burma. I got no affinity with those places. I only have affinity a lot with China. China, mainland. Thailand also very strong. Then Japan, of course. Then I went to Australia and New Zealand because my teachers and guy are there. Not to say I want to go there. Then the condition just arise and the nature just know what to do and it will be there. But I found China and Thailand the best. Those are the places where a lot of real cultivation, traditional forest tradition in Thailand is very, very beautiful. Their tradition, their teaching, their whatever that they are doing now is still very good, very conducive for the training of the mind, for developing wisdom and understanding. China is because of the way place. Then, of course, they are also a place where there are a lot of great Zen masters, but very difficult to meet them. But you can benefit from their books. They have a lot of books. Okay. Wow. So fast. Almost 10:30. So you understand, huh? Now, you have to recollect, like I tell you, you write down. Your focus is to train your mind to develop the spiritual faculty so that automatically you will overcome the hindrance. Then you have to learn the understanding of the essential Dhamma so that phase one of the Dhamma can become very clear. Then go back and write it down, like certain Kayalamita, they write it down. Now with this heart star short note easier, mark. Everything is rewritten. 5 daily contemplation, the essential Dhamma, the 3 evil roots, the 5 hindrance, the 5 spiritual faculty, the 7 factors of enlightenment, deep panel, everything is there. 7 stages of purification, Satta Visuddhi, they are all there. And the 4 noble truth, the 3 turning, they are all inside the note. Then the Q&A that they ask give rise to a lot of condition to explain what meditation is all about. All of your question is nothing compared to the question they ask. Where they are meditator, they are cultivator at that time. And the condition is so beautiful that I can describe the Dhamma so that it can actually make it very clear. So that you are very focused and very clear about what you are doing when you are meditating. Okay, we will do the sharing of merits, transfer of merits, then you can make your aspiration. Yeah, you can rejoice. Learn to rejoice. Shall we rejoice one more time? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay. Sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva chirang rakkhantu loka sasada. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power share these merits and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vatta chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sapa sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transform merits to departed one. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let this merits accrue to departed relatives and all those who can receive them. And may they all to be well and happy always. Okay, we will invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo vasatu kalena sasa sampatihi tocha fito bhavatu lokocha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rainfall induce season May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers be righteous. Okay, you make your aspiration. Ipmina punyang kamina mami bala samagamo satang samagamo otu yawa nivana patiya. By the grace of these merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish and the heedless, but only the wise and the enlightened, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Keep a respect mindfully to Sakyamuni Buddha.
Next week no class, unless you're out there.